Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Joe Jamail said, "Your attitude will go a long way in determining your success, your recognition, and your enjoyment in being a lawyer." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest whose attitude makes him a success at law. Today's Playmakers firm is 48 years old with 900 attorneys and 21 offices. With us today is an office manager and shareholder who joined his firm in 2017. This great playmaker is Brian Bullard. Brian is Dallas office managing partner of Polsinelli. Polsinelli's offices in both Dallas and Houston, with approximately 80 professionals, have grown by more than tenfold in less than a decade. Polsinelli is strongly committed to supporting businesses ranging from entrepreneurial, innovative startup companies to middle market. Brian joined Polsinelli in 2017 and is a shareholder in the firm's investment funds and corporate and transactional practices. His legal practice primarily centers on private equity matters relating to the structuring, formation, and management of private investment vehicles, including joint ventures, private equity, hedge co-investment, seeding and hybrid funds, special purpose entities, operating companies, and managed accounts. He regularly represents both emerging and institutional managers and sponsors with a variety of commercial and real estate transactions. I think we'll have something to talk about here. Brian, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Well, you graduated UT with a bachelor's degree in business administration. You also have a master's degree in professional accounting. Then you went to the SMU Dedman School of Law. Why did you decide to become an attorney?
That's a good question. I always had an eye towards being a lawyer and going to law school. When I decided to go to the University of Texas, talked to my parents, and they asked what I was going to major in, what I was going to do, and I really had no idea at that time. I knew I wanted to go to college. My dad suggested that in his travels, becoming an accountant could never steer you wrong, knowing accounting as the universal business language, it would provide a great foundation for anything that I wanted to do in business, and that was really what I thought I wanted to do at the time. In going to University of Texas, did major in accounting, minored in finance, took a job with one of the big four accounting firms right after college, and quickly realized that being a 23-year-old tax accountant for a large accounting firm was not something that I ultimately wanted to do. And so I have this vivid memory of being, it's just a moment where I was, week one of the job, sitting in my cubicle, and they just kept sticking tax files on my desk and saying, "Go to town, go to town." And I sat in my chair and I did a 360. Just took a whole panoramic view of my cube, my life at that time, and quickly applied for the LSAT and said, "Nope, there's more than what this is going to be." It was always part of the plan, but I never thought it would be so quickly after college.
Well, you went to law school. How did you settle on your particular practice area focus?
I knew that when I went to law school, I did enjoy accounting. I did enjoy finance. In law school, I really focused on the transactional side of law. In law school, there's a whole host of classes. And, after your first year of the basic courses, you generally either start focusing on some of the litigious side of the practices or some more of the corporate side of the practices. And I always, knew that I had a tax background, a finance background. And so I think I just naturally gravitated towards the corporate side. And then when you enter a large law firm, you don't really get to say, "Hey, I want to do X, Y, or Z." It's more pick corporate, pick transactional, pick a specific broader set of skills. And then once you get in, you tend to specialize. And so when I started at my first firm, started on the transactional side of the firm, and ultimately what I found is you tend to gravitate towards people you like. You tend to gravitate towards working with clients that you like. And so through my travels with my tax finance background, the private equity side of what I was doing I found very interesting, and I think it's just was a natural progression over the course of my career. I generally started in a general corporate practice, a securities practice, but like I said, quickly gravitated towards more of a private equity investment fund platform.
I can see how your accounting and finance background has helped you on the corporate side, but how did you get to Polsinelli?
Like many attorneys at a larger law firm, you know, part of what makes you successful as an associate is really just doing your job, doing it well, kind of keeping your head down and muscling through in a lot of ways. There's a lot of work to be done and there's a lot to learn. And I think, you know, it's an all too common thing that you look up and 5 years has passed and you've become actually a pretty good attorney and you're good at certain things. But then different people at different times start questioning what's next. Some people do it at year three, some people do it at year five, some people do it at year 10. And I found that some people don't do it. You know, it's interesting. I was actually very happy at my prior firm doing what I was doing. But I think, you know, as I hit my mid-30s, I started questioning, is this what I should be doing? Very similar to what happened when I was 23 and working as an accountant. It's these kind of aha moments or epiphanies where you almost have an out-of-body experience. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm 35 years old. Is this what I should be doing? And through a bit of self-reflection and just kind of, I guess the best way to say it is pulling your head out of the sand and looking around going, is this what I want? I ultimately found Polsinelli to be a platform that made sense for me and my career and everything that I wanted to do next. For the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I had spent a lot of time, you know, I was at my prior firm for 8-9 years, and I just started asking myself, is this where I wanted to end my career? And so I felt like as my 40s were approaching, trying to be proactive about what I wanted to do instead of reactive. And so through much soul searching and interviewing and meeting with leadership, really, you know, it wasn't just must go to Polsinelli. I interviewed with several firms just trying to ascertain what are the differences between what I had seen, what I wanted, and ultimately was lucky enough to find a platform that made a lot of sense to me, not only in the immediate short term, but also, you know, for the rest of my career.
Therefore, you were proactive in looking for a firm like Polsinelli.
Very much so, without even knowing that it really existed. I think it was just more trying to do diligence on, in a way, if I'm being completely honest, part of me was trying to prove a negative. I really wanted to prove that I was as happy as I could possibly be. I'm not a person who ultimately loves change or seeks out to make a change. And so part of, again, I'll keep referring to it as pulling my head out of the sand at a certain point in time was looking for affirmation that I was doing the right thing or should continue to stay on the path that I was on. Much to my surprise and you know, a little bit of dismay, found out that maybe it wasn't the right path, and that, you know, the process to get to Polsinelli was a 9-month process. It wasn't a decision that was made lightly or made overnight. It was just a decision that I felt at the end of the day was the right decision.
Well, your career seems like it's twofold. A, you have clientele that you work with, but secondly, you are the Dallas office managing partner. Did that happen quickly after you became a part of Polsinelli, and or why did that happen?
No, it didn't. It was never really a goal. I think that what I've learned and what I continuously find that's reinforced is as you move up and progress, different opportunities present themselves in different ways. And, you know, when you're all in on something, you're all in on a vision, you're all in on a strategy, you do what you can to take advantage of those opportunities. And I think that, you know, moving to Polsinelli, it was never my intent to manage an office, to do anything more than more of what I was doing. It just felt like a better platform. But in being at Polsinelli and having some level of success early on and you know, I attribute it to it truly was the right platform. All of the diligence that went in, all of the indicators that pointed to the fact that I should make a move were correct. And so I think through that, through just being on a platform that, you know, aligned with my goals and it allowed me to be the person that I wanted to be and have the success that I wanted to have, those opportunities started presenting themselves. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, it almost felt like, you know, if you're going to do it, go all the way. And part of that is, you know, if you have the ability and the fortune to be able to be in management and leadership and affect goals and visions and strategies of an organization, I think that that's just generally the next step for someone like me who decided to make the move to move in that direction.
You're wearing two hats. You have your clientele and you're running this office. How do they differ in terms of what you do on a daily basis?
They go hand in hand in the sense that, providing good service, providing quality service, being a really great attorney for your clients, a lot of the same skill sets I think that make you a good counselor to your clients also make you a good leader from a law firm perspective. We have a variety of attorneys in this office that practice many different types of law, and I think clients often come to us with many different needs, and if you're lucky enough to have corporate clients that do a lot of different things, they need services like labor and employment, real estate, corporate finance, financial restructuring, etc. Being able to manage those clients, those projects, work with those clients in those projects, I think being at a firm like this and being able to work with attorneys that also do the same thing for different type of clients makes it somewhat easy.
Let's talk about leadership development. You mentioned earlier that you were an accountant. You were being handled all the papers to work on, not a lot of leadership development in that. You are now leading an office in Dallas with a firm of, I believe, 90 or so attorneys in Dallas. Is that correct?
I think we're at 56 attorneys, but over 100 attorneys, staff, paralegals.
How did leadership development and or how did you develop your leadership style to be able to run an office?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure I would know how to identify my leadership style today. I'd be interested in what some of my colleagues would say. I think for me, leadership isn't as proactive or active as it is. I guess a better way to say it is I try to do more listening than talking. I feel that my ultimate goal is maybe to set organizational goals, but then be a champion of people who get to those goals in very different ways. From my perspective, if I had to define a leadership style, it's probably more passive, but leading by example. I try to conduct myself in a certain way, and I try not to assume that everybody else gets to the same point the same way. And so I view my goal as making sure that this office is all rowing in the same direction. We all have we have common goals, maybe not the exact same goal, but to generally try to foster each other's goals as long as it's productive for the organization.
Along the way, we pick up ideas, we pick up methods, ways of doing things from other people we interact with. Do you have any mentors or influencers that have helped you shape your vision of what leadership is for Polsinelli in Dallas?
Well, I take a lot of cues from our CEO, Chase Simmons. He, somewhat like me, is new to the position. He became CEO a little over 2 years ago. I have what I'd like to think are thoughtful discussions with him about firm leadership. I'm watching him take a much larger leadership role in truly leading an organization. We talk on a weekly basis about, if he's macro, I'm micro. He's macro, in the sense that he's running a 900-person law firm. I would not even say that I'm really running a Dallas office. I think I'm more trying to make sure that I understand the organizational goals and making sure that what we do in Dallas tends to facilitate larger organizational goals. At my prior firm, I think a lot of what Polsinelli, the Dallas office of Polsinelli, has been built upon is, because we've only been in the Dallas market for just 10 years now, we're all from somewhere else. And I think a lot of us are from larger law firms, and we all have tried to take the good with us and leave the bad and try to make this a more thoughtful organization. And I think I've always found that fascinating because, no one in Dallas has been at Polsinelli longer than 10 years, and the majority of us are from large law firms in Dallas or just outside of Dallas. We have somewhat of a unique approach to how we want this office to run and how we want this office to look and feel. And so personally speaking, I have, you know, two or three mentors at my prior firm, and I'm always constantly trying to remember the things that I thought worked well and didn't work well and apply them here. And I think everybody's trying to do the same.
It sounds like your leadership style is molding as you're going along. Paulson LA has 21 offices, I believe. Began in Kansas City 39 years ago, and I believe there's about 900 attorneys altogether with Paulson LA in the 21 offices. How does Paulson LA differ from the competition?
Well, and again, you know, I've only been at one other firm, and so a lot of what I think is based on feedback I hear in the market and other peers and colleagues at different firms. I can tell you that the reason I you know, ended up at Paulson LA or ultimately wanted to, or ultimately gravitated towards this platform was, you know, I think we try to do, regardless of what market forces are or what the industry is doing, I think we have a strategy and we try to execute upon our strategy. And I think that for a large law firm, it's somewhat unique. You know, I think if you look at Paulson LA, comparatively speaking, in the company that we're in, we compete with a lot of global law firms, and we also compete with a lot of super regional law firms. I think we're uniquely positioned in that we're a true national law firm. A lot of our competitors have global offices and you know, East Coast, West Coast presence. A lot of our competitors are, you know, in the state of Texas or in the state of New York or in the state of Florida. If you look at Paulson LA and you look at its geographic presence, you know, I think you would be hard-pressed to find a firm that looked exactly like us. Just, you know, not a global presence. You know, we've made strategic decisions to not have one, but then we've also tried to grow strategically and organically throughout the U.S., whether it be Seattle, Miami, Boston, New York, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, Denver. We truly blanket the U.S. and, you know, are not afraid to go into certain markets where we think we may have a competitive advantage. And I think through that organizational leadership or that strategy of strategic growth, I think we are really positioned uniquely in the market compared to our competitors.
Paulson LA is going to be 10 years old, as you mentioned, or is 10 years old right now. What are some of the major accomplishments that Paulson LA has accomplished over the last 10 years? Now, I know you've only been with the firm about 4 years or so, but are there any specific accomplishments that the firm is proud of? And where do you see Paulson LA going over the next 10 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a great question. I mean, part of the reason I was drawn here, you know, or drawn to the Paulson LA platform is, you know, this firm, you know, in Dallas or the Dallas office started with four attorneys. And the fact that we've grown to, you know, 50 plus attorneys in less than 10 years, you know, I think it's very easy to grow. It's very easy to go out and you know, say, well, I want to be 50 attorneys in 2 years and make it happen. I think what I saw and what's continuously reinforced is, you know, it wasn't growth for the sake of growth. The firm decided to start with four because it was the right four, and they added accretive pieces, and we still look to add accretive pieces, but it's not for the sake of growth in and of itself. I think, yes, we would like to grow, and part of the reason I accepted the position of managing partner was to help facilitate that growth. And you know, personally speaking, I have a goal to grow this office, you know, to over 100 people, but it's not an overnight thing. I think growing strategically with the right people, growing strategically based on the market that you're in, I think that I've just been nothing but impressed with our ability to do it. You know, I don't want to say that there haven't been bumps along the way, but to do it in a way that, you know, is true to our organizational values and organizational goals. And I don't know if I'm saying that as eloquently as I'd like to, but you know, I think we're very proud of how we've grown over the last 10 years, and I'd like to make sure that as we continue to grow, that we still stay proud of the way we're doing it.
Well, one of the stepping stones you'll be dealing with as you grow over the next 10 years is something we began talking about before the interview started, and that's the pandemic that's been happening. How has that impacted your firm and law in general?
Yeah, I think we're still figuring that out. You know, the impact to our firm, you know, and to management's credit, we were able to assess the issue when it first started in February, March, or when we started feeling the impact, and our clients started feeling the impact of the pandemic. And I think we were able to respond within a 2 to 3 week period into really take what was seen as a traditional infrastructure, as you mentioned, you know, multiple offices over multiple states, and really more or less go to a virtual presence, but still be able to conduct business and conduct, meet our clients' expectations and meet client deliverables. So I think as an organization, we've been able to respond well. I think that having multiple offices, having, the platform that we had made it quite challenging in that, you know, we weren't dealing with just one office or two office. We really had to put together a construct and really a platform that, you know, we did not have a pandemic contingency plan. But within 3 weeks, we made sure that every attorney was just as efficient, if not more efficient, you know, where they ultimately needed to be than where they were before. And, you know, it was a systematic process of making sure that each office had what it needed to conduct business as usual, or business as would now be considered usual. And then each office, you know, the office managing partner, it was very, very interesting. We had organizational goals, still have organizational goals, but, you know, our firm understands that Dallas is different than Houston, is different than New York, is different than Miami. And so it's kind of a layered approach. We have firm goals, but we're not ready to say that one size fits all in what we're doing. And as an organization, we truly are trying to treat each office as its own independent kind of entity and make sure that the solutions or the practical realities of each geographic location, you know, the organization doesn't try to produce a one size fits all. And so I think we've done really well. I think we're all interested to see, you know, what the next year brings and, you know, what have we learned, what is the data telling us, and how we can, you know, best serve our clients and best serve our people.
Well, let's look at the pandemic from the positive side. How has the pandemic helped Polsinelli in pull all 21 offices together and to serve your clientele?
The pandemic, I think, you know, as you and I were talking about before the interview, you know, we were forced to innovate. We were forced to, you know, we've always had ideas of what would it be like to have a virtual presence or give certain people the freedom to work from home or take away some of the commute, or, you know, where we were always looking at ways as a firm and an organization to become more efficient. And I think the pandemic, you know, has shown us, you know, I can't say that we would have taken as drastic of steps as we had to take or were forced to take just like everybody else, but for the pandemic. So if there is a positive effect from the pandemic, is I think that, you know, we, along with other law firms, were forced to innovate, forced to try and experiment with new things. And what we've seen is, you know, we're very resilient. We're very capable. A lot of our attorneys, you know, have been able to not only survive but thrive in a changed environment. And I think, you know, we're going to learn a lot from that. And again, the data supports that. A lot of things that we thought possible and even some of the things we thought impossible are. You know, I know in talking to our CEO and other firm leadership that we are very cognizant that, you know, if and when a vaccine comes to play, that we just don't go back to business as usual. We want to learn from what we've seen, and I can't tell you that it's going to stay the same if the offices reopen, et cetera, but, you know, try to do things that capitalize on the efficiencies that we were forced to realize.
Well, should somebody want to get a hold of you and or the Dallas office, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to our website, polsinelli.com. I'm on the website, Brian Bullard, and always feel free to call or email.
Brian, this has been a great interview. Thank you so much for explaining what you're doing and what the office is doing for Polsinelli. Thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you, Steve.
We were just speaking with Brian Bullard. As Brian said, he is a Dallas office managing partner of Polsinelli. This has been a terrific show. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.